Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons. Happy November and happy Game 7. We've got it. Explosive Game 6. What a way it ended. And the two greatest words in all of sports, Game 7 tonight. Incredible. We've got managerial news, which I'm not sure I'll even have enough time to get to. And Rockies news. A lot of it. Believe it or not, the GM search, we're going to find out later in the week, or in a week, I should say. Patrick Saunders confirming that the decision the Rockies need to make about their general manager is going to have to wait until next week at some point. I did think there was a chance. There was that opening on Thursday before Game 6 on the off day, but they're going to wait a little while longer. It's kind of wild that it's taken this long for them to make a decision. Now they don't have any real free agents that need to receive any consideration for the qualifying offer. They do need to figure out if they're going to buy out the contracts on Kyle Farmer and Tyro Estrada. Farmer is kind of questionable. The Rockies are interested, I think, in bringing him back to a degree, but it really wouldn't surprise me if they decline that offer. It is a mutual one. The same thing with Estrada. I think they will decline that one. So that's not notable, but they've pared down the 40-man roster just a little bit, and those are decisions that are being made by folks that aren't the general manager, that aren't running the team. So just strange that roster decisions are being made without anybody in charge at all. Really strange. Surprising but not surprising that Dugan Darnell was claimed off of waivers by the Pirates today. You know, we are at that point a year where players are coming off the 60-day IL. That needs to happen after the World Series. So 40-man rosters, there's a crunch. And the Rockies, because they only have two true free agents in Orlando Arcia and Herman Marquez, well, that's 44 players on the 40-man roster. You lose two in free agency, then you're down to 42. You've got three players on the 60-day IL, Chris Bryant, Jeff Criswell, Tyro Estrada. And so, you know, whether or not you bring Estrada back is kind of something else. So you've got a roster crunch, and that's what happens. And relief pitchers are usually the first to be on that chopping block. Darnell having the hip injury and then the hip surgery, which I believe did occur in October, and he also got married, I believe, this month. And, you know, now he's going to have a new home with the Pirates. I'm not sure if the Pirates will even be able to keep him, because though the Pirates immediately put him on the 60-day IL, they are going to have to take him off here very shortly, because, again, there is no 60-day IL in the offseason. And we're not in the offseason, technically speaking, because we still have one more game of baseball left. Game 7. Darnell was really effective this year. He's been good all throughout the minors. A guy who had to play independent baseball for a couple of years after playing in a Division III school in Michigan. You know, 28 years old, so it took him a while to get to the show, but has been really productive for a pitcher. 3.86 ERA. This year in the bigs after a really impressive 3.19 ERA in an incredibly hitter-friendly Pacific Coast League. That's an absurdly low ERA. So I do know that his surgery is likely going to keep him out from having a normal start to his 2026, but that's just April or May. Even if it's June, fine. But if you've got a player that you've liked and that has a certain special ability, which Dugan Darnell is showing that he has that ability, then that's fine if he's not back and can't help your active roster almost immediately. So the Pirates get a nice player, assuming that they will be able to hold on to him. Now, the Rockies, as part of this 40-man roster crunch, also outrighted Lucas Gilbreth and Aaron Shunk from the 40-man roster. And since this is not the first time they've been outrighted off the 40-man roster, it gave them the agency to choose free agency, and they both did. Gilbreth and Shunk gone out of the organization. Shunk was a second-round pick at the University of Georgia. He was a third baseman slash closer for the University of Georgia, taken in 2019. And, you know, was a third base, second base guy, and saw him a lot in the past year or so, actually at shortstop when the Rockies needed someone there in a pinch. And he showed very adequate abilities there. A lot of good memories. I think his first career run, he scored like two or three runs before he had his first hit, which was a first in Rockies history. But for against Milwaukee, it was extra innings. It was his first career run, first player in Rockies history to ever score his first career run in extra innings, and it was a Jake Cave walk-off. And that was, you know, right after Jake Cave became a man of the people after that wild game against the Dodgers back in 2024. So that was a great, great memory for Aaron Shunk and his entire family. Good for him. And Lucas Gilbreth, a guy who's been with the organization since 2017. Yes. A local kid, a Colorado kid, believe it or not, from Broomfield, Colorado, and an absolutely incredible clubhouse guy that was at the center of so many, you know, group activities and team building events. And, you know, someone that his presence was, I think, really sorely missed over the last couple of years after needing Tommy John surgery and, you know, having a gnarly scar down his neck because of some of the health issues that he's had. So I wish Lucas Gilbreth nothing but the best of luck. A guy that, again, he has been an important figure for the Rockies for a while. I mean, he was even at the alternate site in Denver during the 2020 pandemic season where he was pitching there. He was a part of that, was a minor league guy, and essentially made the jump from high A to the majors. Granted, that was because he didn't play minor league baseball in 2020, but was a starting pitcher, went and became a relief pitcher, and had a lot of success his first 2 years, despite, you know, never having done it out of the bullpen. So I wish Lucas Gilbreth nothing but the best of luck. So I think you understand these moves because, you know, once Colorado is faced with some decisions for the Rule 5 draft at the end of November, they're going to need to make room regardless. And I think, you know, the Rockies may have been hoping, at least with Dugan Darnell more so, because Shunk and Gilbreth had the ability to choose free agency, but maybe there was some hope with Darnell being damaged goods with his offseason surgery, and with other teams having the same 40-man roster crunch, that perhaps they would be able to have their cake and eat it too. But alas, they will not. And nothing but the best of luck for Darnell, for Shunk, and Lucas Gilbreth. So game seven, we've got it. Scherzer versus, we don't know. Is it going to be Shohei Ohtani? Is it going to be Clayton Kershaw in game seven? First game seven in the World Series since 2019. Was Nationals against the Astros. The Nationals won that game on the road. And who started that game? Yep, Max Scherzer. So will history repeat itself? And which history? Is it the history in which Max Scherzer starts, does not get the decision, but his team wins the game? If so, put me down for a win for the Blue Jays. Or is it the one where the road team from the National League wins on the road against the American League team? If so, that's a Dodgers win. I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch. And this has been a much more enjoyable World Series than I was expecting. You know, I think a lot of people had Dodgers in five. That's why I said Dodgers in four. So I was way off. And I'm glad to be that wrong. But picking Dodgers in five, you know, that was, I think, the common choice. So it would have been more impressive and less likely for the Dodgers to have swept, and I thought they could have done that. You know, I had this narrative built in my head almost that the Dodgers were this super team that were so good that they knew where they could lose games in the regular season, or at least not win at all costs, pick and choose their battles. They were so good at that that perhaps they were going to sweep through the postseason, almost like the Colorado Rockies in 2007, minus the reverse sweep in the World Series. But no, that's not the case for the Dodgers. Not at all. I'm really curious what the Blue Jays do for their pregame ceremony for Game 7, seeing as though maybe they've already gone through the best of their best. I mean, you do have to prepare for a Game 7, and people are going to be hyped no matter who you bring out. I don't think that, yeah, you just needed 27 more outs to secure your first World Series since 1993, but the guy who threw out the first pitch, great, all-time great Blue Jay, underrated player, three-time All-Star, and was on the 92-93 Blue Jays teams, you might have something bigger in store. I know Joe Carter already threw out a first pitch. I don't know who else you could possibly have. I'm guessing Jose Bautista is who they are waiting to bring out. I don't think I've seen him at all this World Series. So that's got to be their big one. They're bringing out the big guns. But Devon White throwing out the first pitch. He was on the 92-93 team. As I said, was a Gold Glover in center field both those years. I bring this up because it's an important note. I heard somebody that I thought knew ball, and Devon White did not play that long ago. I thought it was still within their, you know, consciousness of baseball. They pronounced his name Devin. And I think they might have even been talking with a big leaguer about this. And I was shocked. They kept talking about Devon White. It's Devon White. Not even Devon. It's Devon White. That's it. So, A, it's important you know that. B, I just learned, and I did not know, that according to his baseball reference page, Devon has been spelling his last name W-H-Y-T-E since 2003, so since his playing career was over. That apparently was the original and real spelling of his last name. So if you're pronouncing his name Devon White and spelling it with an I, then you are really doing him disservice twice over. But you listen to the Rockies Insider, and that's a dumb thing that I care about. So I care plenty about the Jays winning game 4 and 5 on the road after that 18-inning loss on Monday night. Just absolute perseverance. Impressive stuff from John Schneider's club. Game 6. Man, that ending was incredible. It was a classic. And we saw, you know, Yamamoto look human, I guess, but still not, because he only gave up one run over 6 innings, and that came off of the bat of George Springer, who got himself back for the first time since game 1 in a lot of pain, but came through clutch. They were talking in the dugout between the 6th and 7th. Would he go back out there for a 7th inning? He did not. That worked out for the Dodgers. Is there any chance they decided to hold him back to maybe throw in game 7? Not to start, but maybe to get an out, get an inning? I don't think so. I don't think that was really a part of the conversation, since it's immediately the next day, but it could have been. It would not surprise me if we learn that was a part of the combo. We saw Kevin Gausman shove 8 strikeouts in the first 3 innings, a World Series record. Yes, he does get stuck with the loss, but you think in maybe some other outings, that's good enough to get a win in a World Series game, especially when you're at home. Unfortunately, it did not. We saw Mookie Betts get off the schneid. Big bases loaded RBI single to put up LA 2-0 in the third. Betts did drop to 4th in the lineup on Friday night. I would expect to see him to stay there in game 7. We saw Louis Varland again for his 14th appearance this month in the postseason. 17 games that Toronto has played, which is a lot, and they didn't even play in the wild card round. But Varland has pitched in 14 of those 17 games. It's one of the reasons why relief pitchers, you know, don't get paid a ton. They don't get appreciated. It's why they can be found on the scrap heap and discarded. One man's trash is another man's treasure. It happens a lot. And that's not to say super bullpens are stupid, because I don't think they are. I loved it at the time. I think a lot of people loved it at the time. Wade Davis, Jake McGee, and Brian Shaw. It didn't work out. It did until it didn't work out, right? You did go to the 2018 postseason, and if the Rockies were able to get some hits, score some runs against the Brewers in the NLDS, maybe that super bullpen flourishes in the NLCS and in the World Series, alas, we'll never know what could have happened. So, you know, super bullpens, not a dumb idea, but frugal bullpens are certainly something that most teams prescribe to. Finally, coaches, managers, important time, a huge time. Rockies are one of only three teams right now that do not have a manager, along with the Padres and Atlanta. That's it. So as I said before, the Rockies making player personnel decisions without anyone in charge, and at least they're not making a managerial decision before anything else happens, before they make that announcement this week. But we got Tony Vitello, who I already talked about this past week. He is going to end up costing, and really not he. The Giants have made a decision to make this managerial change. It's going to end up costing the Giants $10.5 million this year. Yes, $10.5 million to make this change to Tony Vitello from the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Big jump. We have not seen a college head coach in his first managerial position into the majors make this kind of leap. Giants had to pay University of Tennessee $3 million for his buyout. They're going to pay Vitello $3.5 million for his first season as manager. And because they got rid of Bob Melvin with a year remaining on his deal, that was another $4 million they're going to have to eat. So that's seven and a half plus another three there, it's $10.5 million to go from a highly respected manager in Bob Melvin. Say what you will about the amount of success he's had in his last two stops in San Diego and San Francisco, but a highly successful big league manager that very well could be the next skipper of Atlanta. Probably not the Padres, probably not the Rockies, but could you see him in Atlanta again? Sure. Could you see him with somebody else in 2027? Sure. They're going from a veteran manager to a guy with zero coaching experience in the professional ranks, never been a manager in the majors, never been a manager in the minor leagues. Now, that would be very risky, and it is. But look, there's a lot of things in professional sports that are calculated risks. And I think Vitello is just somebody that has the magic touch with young players, because players can get better still at the major league level. And I know that might be hard to believe since, you know, I don't think a lot of people have seen that in Colorado at Coors Field in quite some time. It just really hasn't happened. And it certainly hasn't happened for a sustained period of time of longer than one season. But players can still get better and improve at the big league level. Now, for the Rockies, when you look back at how certain college-aged players who are taken in early rounds, how long it's taken them to reach the majors, they typically need at least 2 years to three. That's at best, really, in the past. Many take like 3 to 4 years. And that's not really true in all organizations because, you know, the Rockies have been less aggressive historically. Recently, they've been more aggressive. I think they've been equally as aggressive as the rest of the league, but they've been more aggressive when compared to themselves. And case in point, Jordan Beck, who was from the class of 2022, debuted in April of 2024, less than 2 years after being drafted. Seth Halverson, class of 2023, debuted in August of 24. Not bad for a seventh-round pick. And then Chase Dolander, who's drafted in 2023, didn't get to make his pro debut until 2024, then debuted in April of this past year. All three guys went from college to the majors in under two calendar years, and all three are, of course, from the University of Tennessee. The Twins officially announced that Derek Shelton will be their new manager. The press conference won't take place until Tuesday, but Shelton is back in Minneapolis with the Twins, where he was a bench coach for Paul Molitor in 2018, for Rocco Baldelli in 2019. Last few years was with the Pirates, had minimal success. That's even being kind. So interesting position there, but there's familiarity with the Twins. Blake Butera, arguably the most interesting managerial appointment. Certainly a guy going from college to the majors. We've never seen that before. That's going to be hard to beat. But you can make the case that Blake Butera, not the brother of Drew, could they be related somehow, some way? Could be, but they're not siblings. Blake Butera could even be a more interesting story because he becomes the first 33-year-old manager in the majors, the youngest manager in the majors in over 50 years. 1972, you got to go back for a manager that young.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
And Butera has just been a rising star in the ranks of minor league managing. He was a manager at High A Hudson Valley at 25 years old. So, you know, he has been a guy that has had the magic touch and has won a lot in the minor leagues too. It's something that not all organizations prescribe to. The Rockies don't really. They've talked more about trying to win in the minor leagues, but they haven't always had that same level of success, certainly not at the higher ranks. Hartford finally get into the postseason in the last 2 years, but otherwise not a ton of success at the upper levels of the minor league system for the Rockies. But Blake Butera's got a lot, and now he becomes the youngest manager in all of baseball with the Washington Nationals and doing it under the youngest general manager or the youngest head of baseball operations in the league, in 35-year-old Paul Toboni, who came over from the Boston Red Sox. So interesting managerial changes. Colorado, San Diego, Atlanta still out there. Will Anton Richardson get one of those jobs? I don't think so, but he is going to be in high, high demand. Now, he is now out as first base coach for the Mets, but in this past year, dude did some impressive things. He helped the Mets steal a ton of bases this past year. Is a guru when it comes to stealing bases and reading pitchers and knowing when to go and when you can go and when to take advantage of it. You remember that game when Herman Marquez was obviously, you know, he obviously had some kind of tell and the Mets knew and they just stole all over him, including Francisco Lindor in his first game back after breaking his toe, was still able to manage to steal a base. That's all thanks to Anton Richardson. Case in point, Juan Soto entered this year with 57 career stolen bases. His single season career high was 12, and Juan Soto stole 38 bases this year. 38 for 42 for a guy that previously had a 71% stolen base percentage, which is fine, but it is below average. It is below acceptability. But 38 bags for Juan Soto. Why? Anton Richardson. Teams are willing to pay coaches if they are particularly adept at one area of the game, especially one that can win ball games. You can get another 90 feet. Going from first to second is critical in winning ball games, especially tight games. Think about teams when they're in one-run games. You have to win those games. We know that a third of the games you're going to lose, a third of the games you're going to win, and it's what you do in those other 50-plus games each and every season that determines whether or not you're going to lose 119 games or you're going to win 87 and maybe have a chance to get into the postseason. It's about the other one-third of the season and winning close ball games by stealing bases and getting yourself into scoring position thanks to the work essentially of one man, that's got a lot of value. So Anton Richardson, don't know that he's going to be a managerial candidate right away, but he is another one of those shining stars out there. And dude's going to get paid to be a coach somewhere and help his next club steal a bunch of bases. Mets did also incidentally bring in Troy Snitker. They brought in a Snitker, not the dad, not Brian Snitker, but it's Troy Snitker who becomes the hitting coach for the Mets. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on X and Blue Sky. Rockies Insider on YouTube. We got game 7 tonight. Gonna be a good one. Exciting day and an exciting week ahead as the Rockies should make that announcement of who is going to navigate this club over the next 5 or so years and hopefully get them back to some level of relevancy and maybe even respectability. It's going to take a couple years to do that. It's going to take a lot less involvement from a gentleman by the name of Richard L. Montfort, but we're going to find out who is going to be calling many, if not most, of the baseball shots for the Rockies this week. So an exciting time in baseball. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate all your momentum you've provided me with here today. But unfortunately, that kind of momentum, well, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.